Well, good morning. It's Brother Van Wyndham from West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning as we come to look at the Word of God. Today, the special day in our church. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper today. It's hard to believe that here we are already in the ending of a quarter and of this year. And it's amazing to think about. We're in the middle of March already in 2022. And we observe the Lord's Supper every quarter in our church. So now's a time that we do that, and so we're looking forward to that today. We're glad to be back at church today. We took a little trip last weekend, and I tell you, we saw a wife and I in 2 days' time. We saw weather with 69 to 70 degree weather down to 20 something degree weather, sunshine, rain, and snow all in about 2 days' different time. But it was a good trip, and we're just so glad to be back this morning. This morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, as we're thinking about this morning, your fondest memory of Jesus. Think about that this morning. What is your fondest memory of Jesus? What do you remember most? What brings a smile to your face when you think about Jesus? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30 is what we'll be looking at. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for your opportunity to bring this word once again on the radio. And Lord, we thank you that it seems like every week we hear somebody else who has heard or who has listened. And Lord, I thank you that we have that opportunity to get the word out across our area. And so, Lord, I thank you for this radio station and their willingness to play what we preach. Lord, I thank you for God giving us this opportunity. So, Lord, we pray this morning that you would just bless the reading of your word, that you'll bless our time in our church as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We pray for other churches that may be taking the Lord's Supper this month. We pray for, Lord, that it truly will be that witness to the world of what you can do for them, what you have done for us. That, Lord, it'd be a reminder to Christian people, Lord, just what you have done in the giving of your body and the shedding of your blood. We pray that if there's one lost, that, Lord, if they'll come to know you this morning. Lord, we can't come before you throne this morning without praying for what's going on in the Ukraine. Lord, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for this war to be brought to an end. We pray for you to put your hand upon Russia and remove them. And Lord, protect these people. There's been so many killing, so much destruction. And so Lord, we pray for them and we lift them up, especially our Ukraine brothers and sisters, Lord, that know you as their Lord and Savior. Go with us now through this service. We give you that honor and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning we said we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, very familiar passage of Scripture, one I know we've used a lot of time. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. For after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread, you do drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread or drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." We go back up to verse 24 and 25. It says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance. This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." Now, you know, when we think about that, in remembrance of me, I'm sure probably most of you, if you attend church, you probably have a communion table there in your church somewhere. Ours sits right down front in front of the pulpit area. And on the front of the table, it says, "In remembrance of me." And you know, we think and we hear so many times our pastors, as they get up and as they share with us about the Lord's Supper, and they talk to us and they present unto us and we participate in that Lord's Supper, that we do this in remembrance of Him. One of my favorite songs that we sing during that Lord's Supper time is, "In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this blood. Drink this body, this blood, this juice." And so, you know, it's just a reminder of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. But this morning, I want us to even think of it more than just a reminder. You know, some memories that we have of things and some things that we are reminded of are not real good. As a matter of fact, when you really think about Jesus giving His body and giving of His blood and the shedding of His blood, we know it's not a real good memory, is it? To think about Him dying on that cross, to think about Him going through that torturous night and that fake trial that He went through, and to have to go through all that night, and then to carry that cross even to a point that He couldn't carry it anymore, and then to be nailed to that cross and bleeding and dying on that cross for our sins, for not for anything He had done. He was guilty. You know, that's really not a good memory in it. But you know, there's so much more to remember about Jesus, is there not? There's so much more that we can remember about Him and His life story as we read it. So this morning I want us to think about, what is your fondest memory of Jesus? What is the fondest memory of Jesus? We need to remember His death. We need to remember his dying on that cross and the tragic and how bad it was. But what is your fondest memory of Jesus? When He says, "Do this in remembrance of me," what is your fondest memory that you have? You know, I can think back to my childhood and my life and some of my fondest memories that I have. And I'm sure you can too. I know one time I had my best friend, one of my best friends that grew up with through elementary all the way through first 2 years of college. We're still good friends. We still talk often on the phone. We still try to fish together when we can. And I never forget one day during turkey season, we went, that's turkey season now, isn't it? But we went turkey hunting that morning, and I killed a turkey that morning. He had lines set out in the river. We went to the river and ran the lines, and we caught a 24-pound white cat that day. And I remember telling him, I said, "Man, this is probably one of the best days of my life." Well, we got back home, and he told my wife, Denise, he said, "Van said this is the best day of his life." She kind of looked at him, "What do you mean that's the best day?" You know, our fondest memory should be those times that we got married, the times that our children were born, the times that we spent with our friends. These are fondest memories. Well, what is your fondest memory of Jesus? So this morning, I want us to think about that just a minute. I want us to think about what could be your fondest memory. What are some of the probably people's in the Bible's fondest memories? I don't want to put words in their mouth, but let's just think about, first of all, some of the fondest memories would probably be His birth, the birth of Jesus. Some of the fondest memories would be His healings, you know, when He healed people. Some of the fondest memories could be His forgiveness, when He forgave people. His fondest memories could be those that He saved. I hope that's all of our fondest memory of Jesus. We all should have that fondest memory. But if you don't have that memory, then we pray today that you'll have that memory of Jesus, that when you partake of that Lord's Supper, "This do in remembrance of me," that He died for you. And then I want us to think about our worship of Him. Some of our fondest memories can be in a worship service and in worshiping Jesus. So let's look at these five things this morning as we think about our fondest memory, your fondest memory of Jesus. I talked about His birth. You know, everybody has a baby story, right? Every one of us have a baby story. You know, I have baby stories about myself that people have told me, you know, when I was a baby. I have baby stories about my grandchildren. I have baby stories about my children when they were born, and some of the fondest memories of His birth and their birth. So think about Jesus and think about those that had fondest memories of His birth. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph, when we go back to that Matthew chapter 1 and that Luke chapter 1, and when that angel came to Mary, when Joseph has that dream about the baby, you know, Mary had the angel comes and tells her about the baby in Luke chapter 1, that she's going to be made pregnant, conceived a child from the Holy Spirit, that it's going to be the child of God, and that she is favored by God and chosen by God. Can you imagine how that must have stuck within her mind and been one of those fondest memories? Can you imagine Joseph, as he finds out his wife is pregnant? It's not a very fond memory then, is it? You know, he's kind of worried. He says, what am I going to do? My wife's pregnant by somebody else, but he didn't understand. And then God comes to him in a dream and says, Joseph, don't worry about it. The child that she has is conceived of the Holy Spirit. You're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to save all the people from their sins. And don't worry about taking her as your wife. And can you imagine just those memories that they had? Those had to be some fond memories at the birth of Jesus. You go on over into chapter 2 of Luke, and you begin reading there about when Jesus came, and there was no room in the inn. They had to have him in a manger. You know, I watch TV shows, and I'm sure you have, and a lot of times you'll see women having babies in a lot of different places. They have them at home, in the barn, they have them in the car, on the airplane, whatever. You know, you'll see so many things like this. But can you imagine, that had to be a fun memory to think about, that baby born in a manger. But what amazing fun, can you imagine when those shepherds showed up? What would be the fondest memory of those shepherds? It had to be when they were out there on that field by night and watching their sheep. And when that angel came to them and told them not to be afraid, behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But not to you only, but to all people. And what happened? A whole host of angels began singing, glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine that? That had to be a fond memory. You think those shepherds ever forgot that? Do you think they ever forgot that? You know they didn't. And then when they came and found Mary and Joseph and the baby there lying in a manger, this had to be a fond moment for these shepherds. These had to be a time that they'd never forget in their life. It's the birth of Jesus. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, what did it say? But Mary, what? Kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. All these things she kept in her heart. All these things about the birth of her baby, Jesus, the Savior of the world. His birth should be a fond memory. Matter of fact, we celebrate it every year, do we not? At Christmas, you know, like we do our own children's birth and our own birthdays and our family members, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It can be one of those fondest memories. Well, let's think about the second thing. Have you ever thought about all the people that Jesus healed in the Bible? I mean, when you just look at the ones, the lame that he made to walk, the blind that he made to see, I mean, delivered them from demons, even brought Lazarus forth out of the grave. Can you imagine all these people that Jesus healed in his ministry in that short time of those 3 years of ministry that he walked this earth? If you were to ask these people, what are your fondest memories of Jesus, what do you think they would tell you? They would probably tell you about that healing. Look over in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, and we see two of those instances. Now, I'm just picking out two of them. But think about this, his being the healer and his healing. I think about the leper in the first part of there, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. We see that there's a leper comes to Jesus, and what did he say? He said, Jesus, he called into Jesus. He said, if thou wilt, you can heal me. If you will, you can heal me. Do you see the faith that leper had? And then something miraculously happens, does it not? The Bible says that Jesus did what? Jesus touched that leper. Now, why is that so important? I bet you that was one of the fondest memories of that leper, is when Jesus touched him. When he touched him, because we know that lepers were outcasts. We know that lepers were not allowed around anybody else. Lepers, nobody wanted to touch them. Matter of fact, if they were walking down the street and somebody was approaching, or they were approaching someone, they had to holler out, leper, leper, so nobody would touch them. But our Lord and our Savior touched this leper. And immediately, what happened? This leper was made clean. Immediately, this leper was cured of his leprosy. We go and keep reading on down, and we find out that there's a centurion who comes and to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal one of his servants. And we see that Jesus says, well, I'll come quickly. And what does he say? He says, no, don't come. He says, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. I'm not worthy for you to be here. I tell men to go and come, and they do exactly what I tell them to do. If you, look at this now, in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 8, we see that he tells Jesus, if you'll just speak the words, I know my servant can be saved. And Jesus tells him what? Well, let it be done unto you as you believe. And what happened? We know that this man's servant was healed. Can you not imagine that that was a fond memory that this centurion had of Jesus? Much less his servant that he healed that day, that was in the point of death. You know, Jesus said in verse 10 of that Matthew chapter 8 about this centurion, he said, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in all Israel. I've not found in all Israel. I've not found anywhere anybody that had a greater faith than this centurion, that he believed that I would just speak the words and his servant can be healed. Now, I don't know about you. I know I've seen God heal people. I know we pray for people all the time that are sick and people who have had devastating illnesses and stuff. Now, God don't always heal people of it when we pray. You know, sometimes you got to remember God's will is going to be done and he knows our future and he's going to do what is best. But I can tell you some of the fondest memories that I've had in the ministry is when Jesus, I saw the hand of God heal people. I've seen him heal people. Can you imagine how this leper, can you imagine how this centurion, if you would ask them to tell you, hey, tell me something about Jesus, what's your fondest memory of him? I guarantee you that leper would say, when he touched me and healed me of my leprosy. That centurion would say, when he spoke the words and healed my servants just by speaking the words. So this morning, what is your fondest memory? Is it the birth of Jesus? Is it his healing? What about his forgiveness? Can you think about Jesus' forgiveness? Just think about how great that is. I tell you, I shudder sometimes to get in the pulpit. If it were not for the forgiveness of God and his mercy, I know how unworthy I am to come and excuse me, and stand before you and to preach that word. If it were not for the forgiveness of God and what God will do for you and what he has done for me by forgiving us of our sins. But you remember there's a story over in John chapter 8, verse 5. And it's about a woman who was what? Caught in adultery. And we know the story of how this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The Bible says that the Pharisees and others brought her before Jesus and throw her down before Jesus. And what did they say? This woman was caught in the act of adultery. She was caught in the act. And the law of Moses says we got to stone her. We have the right to stone her. And that means to stone her to death. It didn't mean just hit her a little bit with a rock. That meant to stone her to death. And then they look at Jesus and they ask him, they said, what sayest thou? In other words, what do you say about it, Jesus? What do you say that we ought to do? And what did Jesus do? The Bible says he looks at them and he says, okay, that's what Moses' law said. So I tell you what, ever who's here without sin, you cast the first stone. Now, we preached on that sermon, the first stone, before. I got the first stone laying on my desk, remind me, on my bookcase behind my desk, to remind me, am I worthy to cast that first stone? No, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. And so they all depart. Nobody will throw that first stone. And when Jesus looks up at the woman after writing on the ground, what does he say? He says, where are all your accusers? Where's all these people that wanted you stoned? Where's all these people that wanted you killed? And they'd all left. And then Jesus in that verse 11 makes that famous statement, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. The wonderful forgiveness of Jesus. The wonderful forgiveness of Jesus. Can you imagine that wonderful forgiveness that this lady felt at that time? Now notice, she said, go and sin no more though. You know, we have to be willing to repent of that sin. We have to be willing to stop that sin. And yet, Jesus forgave this woman, calling the act of adultery. Now if you was to ask that woman, what is your fondest memory of Jesus? What do you think she's going to say? She's He's going to say, that day he forgave me of my sin. That day he saved me from my captors. That day that he saved me from being stoned. That's going to be my fondest memory of him, that when he did not stone me, but he forgave me. Well, that brings us into the fourth thing, his salvation. Just as he saved this woman, just as he saved her from that. Can you imagine the salvation of Jesus? Can you imagine how that he saves people? My fondest memory of Jesus, of course, is when he saved me as a 9-year-old child there in the Vacation Bible School. My second fondest memory of Jesus is when he called me into the ministry. When he called me at a mere age of 17, and I began preaching and pastoring church at 19. That's my fondest memories of when he saved me and then called me. When he sent me my wife, Denise, and we've been married going on 46 years. Those are fondest memories. But that salvation experience is something that is great. Let's go back up to Luke chapter 23, and you know the story of the crucifixion of Christ and why Christ is hanging there on the cross. What did he say going back up thinking about that forgiveness? He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And there's a thief that's hanging there on the cross in verse 42 and 43. And what does the thief say? He says, Master, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And what did Jesus tell him in verse 43? He says, today you shall be with me in paradise. Look at that. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Here is a man dying on the cross. Here's a man at his last breath. And yet Jesus knows he's done wrong. He tells the other thief, you remember the other thief, is scolding Jesus saying, why don't you save us and save yourself? Why don't you get us off this cross? Why don't you save us and save yourself? And we know that this thief said, man, you need to be quiet. Can't you see we're getting what we deserve? But this man has done nothing wrong. This man has done nothing to deserve this crucifixion. And yet Jesus looks at him and says, today you'll be with me in paradise because you believe in me, because you trust in me, because you ask, you have received. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. That's salvation. What do you think that thief, his fondest memory? If you could ask him today, what's the fondest memory you have of Jesus? He's going to say, well, I was hanging on that cross right before I died. Jesus saved me. There's another story we find in the Bible, a wonderful Bible story in Luke chapter 19. You remember the story, beginning verse 1 through 10. Jesus is coming through the town, and what happened? There's a wee little man, and the wee little man was he, and his name was Zacchaeus. You remember the story. You remember the little song that we all sang as children growing up. And Zacchaeus, the Bible says, wanted to see Jesus. He wanted his chance to see Jesus. And so the crowd is great, and so what does he do? He's a little short man, so he climbs up into a sycamore tree so that he can see Jesus. He knows Jesus is coming by that way. And when Jesus gets there, what did Jesus do? He looks up into that tree and he sees Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree because today I'm going with you. Today I'm going with you. And what happens? Zacchaeus comes down, takes Jesus, and what happens? Zacchaeus and his whole household are saved that day. Zacchaeus repents of his sin, gives half of what he has to the poor, and repays anybody that he has cheated. Four times he'd been a tax collector. Oh, brothers and sisters, it says in that verse 10 of Luke 19, what did it say? The Son of Man came to do what? To seek and to save those that are lost. Our fondest memory of Jesus should be that we have been saved. It's wonderful to remember his birth and talk about that baby Jesus at Christmas and celebrate Christmas. It's wonderful to seek his healing when we're sick and when we need that healing. It's wonderful to seek forgiveness when we get caught in our sins, like that adulterous woman. Isn't it amazing? A lot of times we don't seek forgiveness unless we get caught. But when we get caught, man, we want something to do. It's wonderful to receive and expect all those things. And those can be fun memories of Jesus. That's when he responded. But the greatest memory that you can have of Jesus this morning is to know that you have been saved. He is here to seek and to save the lost. And that should be every one of us' fondest memory, is that we have met the Savior. that we have been saved. And if you don't have that memory this morning as we partake of this Lord's Supper, then brothers and sisters, you need to get that memory. That should be your fondest memory. And then the last thing that I said can be our fondest memory is our worship of Him. Now, once we are saved, once we have received that forgiveness, that spiritual healing, once we receive that new birth in Jesus that we've talked about the last several weeks, then brothers and sisters, then our fondest memory should be worshiping Him. Worshiping Him week after week after week, that we come and we worship Him. You know, I love worshiping the Lord. And last week we went to another church, and it was a lot different church than ours. It's more contemporary. It's the most high-tech church now I've ever seen. I'm going to tell you, never seen such a high-tech church. But brothers and sisters, we worship the Lord. And it can be a fond memory, worshiping God and worshiping Jesus with one another. That can be our memory. Now look with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 24, verse 45 through 53. And we see this is Luke's account of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And notice what happens. It says as they were there, and it says in that verse 45, that first thing that happened is that Jesus opens their understanding. And then He gives them what we call that Great Commission. We call it in Matthew chapter 28, there, verses 20-19, where He gave the Great Commission. But Luke has that Great Commission also, just in different words. But we see that He says you got to go and preach, and you got to go and teach. You got to share forgiveness and remission of sin with everybody. Got to be preached beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, all the world, that Great Commission. And then He said, I'm going to give you a promise, the Holy Spirit. And then it said in verse 52, they worshiped Him. They worshiped Him and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now notice that. The resurrected Lord, He's ascending into heaven. And the first thing He does, the reason that we can have great worship is, what did it say? He opened their understanding. You know, one of the fondest memories that we ought to have of Jesus is when He opens our understanding. When He opens our understanding that we can understand the Scriptures. When He opens our understanding that we understand our lostness. When He opens our understanding and we understand His willingness to forgive us and to save us. And when that understanding is opened and we receive that salvation, that's a fond memory in it. We worship Him because He has opened our understanding. I hope Sunday after Sunday, I hope every time that we read this word on the radio station and share this word with you, I hope that it opens somebody's understanding better about who Jesus is and what Jesus can do for them. And then it said the Great Commission. When He said, you got to go and you got to preach the gospel. You know, our worship of Jesus, and some of my fondest memories is when I've been out sharing the gospel. You know, I can share you story after story of sharing the gospel. And some of my fondest memories now of Jesus is when I share the gospel with people and when they respond to that gospel and when they accept Jesus as their Savior. One of the best ways you can worship Jesus is to go out and share the gospel with someone. To go out and tell someone else about what Jesus can do for them. That's the best way you can worship Him. That's the best way you can remember Him. That's the best way that you can find joy as a Christian, is sharing that gospel. Then look what He said. He sent them. He said, I'm going to send you the promise. You know, when we worship, hopefully the Holy Spirit is there. When we go and worship, the Holy Spirit should be there. And we should be seeking out that Holy Spirit. We should be knowing that the Holy Spirit is there with us, that He fills that place. He's in our lives if we're Christians. He's a part of our lives, or should be, if we've accepted Jesus. And if we've done that, then He's living within us. But when we come to worship, we seek the Holy Spirit to lead us in that time. And that's what Jesus told them. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We talked about that last week, didn't we? How that He'll never leave any man behind. But we know that Jesus sends us that promise. Some of our fondest memories is watching the Holy Spirit work and seeing how that Holy Spirit works in the lives of people, how that it can work in my life, how He works in your life. And then He said, you know, they worshiped Him after He shares these things happen to them. and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You know, remembering our fondest memories of Jesus, it brings great joy to us, does it not? Does it not bring great joy to you? You know, when I remember the birth of my children, when I remember back to Denise and I getting married, when I remember back to my salvation, it brings great joy to me. When I remember other things, people that I had shared the gospel with time and time again, and then I finally saw them make that decision for the Lord, it brought great joy to me. The times that I've had the Holy Spirit direct me in my life, call me out to do certain things and pointed me in the right direction, it brought great joy to me. So this morning, what is your fondest memory of Jesus? What is your fondest memory of Him? Don't it bring great joy to your heart, to your mind, when you think about who Jesus is and His birth, His power to heal, His power to forgive, His power to save souls? And then when we worship such a God, it brings great joy to our hearts and to our souls and to our spirits. And so this morning, once again, what is your fondest memory of Jesus? Do you have a fond memory of Him? Think back about what Jesus has done for you. Do you know Him as your Savior today? If not, then I encourage you to find Jesus today as your Lord and your Savior and start building those fond memories of Him. Let us pray once again. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these wonderful memories that we have of Jesus, of what He's done in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray if there's one that don't have these memories, that's never accepted You, I pray today, Lord, that they'll accept You now as Lord and Savior. Let them build these fond memories of Jesus, Lord, that they'll know through the years to come, Lord, just how great He is and what a great thing He did for us, dying on that cross, shedding of His blood and giving of His body so that we can have salvation. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we give You the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.